This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1863. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. First and foremost, shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 2nd, Anguilla, Australia, Bolivia, Canada, Cuba, Ecuador, Eritrea, Korea North, Korea South, Mali, Mexico, New Zealand, North America, Pakistan, Romania, San Marino, Sikkim, Sri Lanka, Sudan South, Thailand, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we noted that the Caribbean beacon Anguilla finally resumed its night frequency 6090 after being off for a few weeks, but not the day frequency. However, by the morning of January 27th, it too had resumed 11775, but both of them still considerably distorted modulation. All ears were on Australia as Doomsday, January 31st, approached for the close down of Radio Australia and the Northern Territory shower services on shortwave. But when exactly? The Pacific Beat program on Radio Australia, 21 UT, January 30th, finally gave the details. Radio Australia would close down at noon Melbourne time, that is 01 UT, January 31st. And so they did, according to numerous monitors, some of them having to use remote receivers. Played Waltzing Matilda a few times, and that was it. ABC News itself reported on this. Mike Cooper forwards a story from UT January 31st. Headlined, End of an Era as ABC Shuts Down Shortwave Service to Pacific. After nearly 80 years of broadcasting, the ABC will today switch off shortwave broadcast of Radio Australia into Papua New Guinea and the Pacific. ABC insists the technology is out of date, and shortwave broadcasts will cease at midday Eastern Australian time. Our public affairs reporter, Liam Fox, says there's been an outcry from affected listeners, while the ABC's critics argue that the switch-off will damage its reputation in the region in return for saving of less than $2 megadollars. John Filiozzi, who could not hear it directly in Florida, said playing Waltzing Matilda for the last time was a nice touch, presumably by the transmitter engineer, a pretty ignominious end. The new and haughty managers, such as are running the ABC, have no sense of history whatsoever. For me, that's the end of a half century of listening to Shepparton. I'm sorry to see it go, but it was barely a shadow of its former self at the end, like watching an old friend waste away and finally expiring. Sad. And the Northern Territory services went off when it was noon out there, a sesquihour later, circa 02:30 UT. Paul in New Zealand says the managing director who made the decision is a lawyer and ex-Google and Murdoch News Corp employee. By the sounds of it, she has no broadcasting knowledge. They could save even more money with her resignation. And refers us to an Australian Guardian article of a Sesqui month ago headlined, Michelle Guthrie, the ABC, and the turning of a once shining jewel into mainstream sludge. Brian Powell in Sydney refers us to a video of someone symbolically smashing a radio at the front gates of VL8A in Alice Springs, and a member of staff at the transmitter site sending a Morse code farewell. However, Brian Powell, Artie Bigley, and Mike Cooper send a story which happened right after the Northern Territory stations closed down, headlined, Nick Xenophon leads call for ABC to reinstate shortwave radio. What a name. It's X-E-N-O-P-H-O-N. He is a South Australian senator who says he will introduce legislation to Parliament to force the ABC to reinstate its shortwave radio service. The local newspaper, the Shepparton News, has also been covering this, thanks to Mike Cooper, Artie Bigley, Brian Powell, and Mike Terry, for this story, which moved on February 1st. Just what will happen to the Shepparton site is up in the air. Broadcast Australia did not grant requests to visit the site on the day of the final transmission, and it said that no decision has been made on if the facility would be demolished. Although Broadcast Australia did not confirm staffing numbers, a number of former employees said although numbers were larger in previous years, recently there were only about 3 staff at the site. Any change of heart by a future government could present its own problems, as the site was not designed to be switched off for long periods. Mr. Baker said, "The antennas do need maintenance. They don't last forever. It'll degrade over time, and the transmitters, the longer they are off, the harder it will be to get them back on again. It's not too late for the ABC to reverse this daft decision," says Senator Xenophon. "If it doesn't, it can expect to be on a collision course with MPs from all sides of politics." Noting the big hole on 9580, the morning of January 31st, I wrote to Jeff White, "I just got a bright idea. Why not have WRMI move on to that frequency with a relay of Radio Australia, say 12 to 15 UT more or less? You could afford this by replacing 2 or 3 hours a day of world music on some other transmitter with Radio Australia at no additional cost. You probably would not want to do it, but perhaps a nominal cost would be acceptable. This could be a crowdfunding thing. It's hard to think of anything which would be more attractive among ex-shortwave stations to relay. Would ABC endorse this? Probably not, but you would be doing a great public service to North American listeners and great publicity for WRMI. Do it on your initiative and stop it only if ABC insists." Actually, 9580 is not completely silent in our mornings, as I was also hearing traces of before RA went off. There's 1 hour broadcast from 1330 to 1430 UT via the UAE in Dari and Pashto. It's the BBC, in fact, but it's quite weak over here and not really a problem if a closer signal would come on. Of course, there's a lot more discussion of the Australian situation in the new edition of DX Listening Digest, when published, number 17-05, via worldofradio.com. Bolivia has a way-out-of-band station on 5580, but it's quite low-powered, Radio San Jose. I often check for it in the evenings, but don't hear it. Probably signs off too early for me, but it is being reported in the mornings, at least if you're in Chile, as Claudio Galas is, January 28th at 10:36 to 10:48 UT with Andean music. Some announcer speaking in Spanish, and there was fading on the signal, 5580. Last week I was reporting that Trenton Military, the flight weather station CHR in Ontario, was broadcasting nothing but no report received from all the airports it normally covers. This kept on going for several days, but finally, the morning of January 26th, they did get some reports and broadcast them from some of their airports. There are 2 different kinds of data they provide alternately: aviation weather, that is current conditions, and terminal forecasts. Some of these were still no report received. It's not unusual for those to be spread here and there, but hardly everywhere. On upper sideband, 15034 is the day frequency and 6754 the night frequency. According to Bill Hepburn's schedules, they have a very set schedule of different airports which they cover every 5 minutes in alternation, but normally there is a 10-minute break at the top of the hour. You might want to make a note for next year. Ron Howard in California reports on hearing a New Year's Eve Spring Festival gala on January 27th from many Chinese shortwave frequencies. They were carrying a live audio feed from CC Television with comedy skits, musical selections, etc., such as Voice of Strait on 4940, parallel to 6115. That was the only one he was hearing at first at 12:30 UT. Then others joined in. And Hiroki Komatsubara in Japan says 49:40 kept going with this until it went off at 16:46. So that was about 3 sesquihours of live gala coverage via Voice of Straight. Over the past week, most evenings when I checked, Radio Rebelde in Cuba had been missing from 5025. However, it has been reported some in the mornings, and I can even hear it after sunrise here. Claudio Galas in Chile, for instance, logged it January 28th from 10:11 to 10:34 UT. And Wolfgang Büschel was hearing it January 30th at 10:25 via a remote receiver in northeastern Australia. Recently noted that HCJB had curtailed the hours on the only remaining shortwave frequency in Ecuador, 6050, signing off at 0230 instead of 0500. Now comes news that HCJB has turned off completely its medium wave frequency, 690 kHz, via Rich McVicker BCDX from the Call of the Andes blog. Ralph Kurtenbach wrote all about it, including its history. It actually was turned off New Year's Eve at 9 p.m. One of the several clandestines for Eritrea calls itself Radio Eritrea International, at least in French, Radio Eritrea Internationale. By the way, it's spelled E-R-Y-T-H-R-E-E. According to a report by Christian Guibaudot in Nice, who heard it January 20th at 17 UT on 11965 via Bulgaria. It also displays a QSL, or a graphic of it. It's otherwise known as Radio Irena, E-R-E-N-A. According to the WRTH, it's a satellite online station run by Eritrean journalists abroad, supported by Reporters Without Borders, produced in Paris and Gippingen, Germany, but the address is in Paris. Seabreeze, our shokaze about North Korean abductions of Japanese, has made another of their periodic frequency changes. They've been on 6145 for several weeks at 13 to 14 UT, including English on Thursdays. But on January 30th, Ron Howard said they'd gone back to another frequency they've used before, 5935. That's the one they had already been using for the half hour daily at 1405 in Japanese only, and that continues. The other broadcast at 16 to 17 UT, Ivo Ivanov says, has moved from 6110 to 6085. Thanks to a reminder from Walt Somniv on his latest de-expedition, Ron Howard reports once again, the South Korean weather station HLL2 in Seoul on 5857.5. He says, I hear it daily but rarely think to report about it. It's a good signal but audio somewhat distorted. For example, heard January 31st at 1312 in English with weather conditions at different observatories around the country, with wind direction, wind speed, air pressure, and temperatures. They have other segments in other languages. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany says, since the 1980s, China Radio International has operated a shortwave relay station in Mali. For the current winter period, CRI registered 23 broadcasting hours with HFCC, but the current WRTH attributes only 7 hours to the Bamako relay. In a 10-day monitoring project in the second half of January, it became clear WRTH is more correct, since its broadcasting schedule could be largely confirmed. There may be even fewer transmissions. Among those he did confirm, 14 to 16 in English on 17630, 16 to 17 in Arabic on 15124, not 15125. At 18 to 19:30 in Hausa and Arabic on 11640. Actually, all these end 3 minutes earlier. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1863. Also bringing you the website worldofradio.com, all of which are non-commercial, and thus your voluntary financial support is very much appreciated. Our thanks this week to John Anderson in California, and Robert Waybright, both of whom sent contributions via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute via check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. From Ramey's Mexico Beat, Ramey Humbert on the WTFDA Forum. Speculation about what's happening in the San Diego-Tijuana market for television. In particular, XETV, which many of us used to DX when it was on analog channel 6. It was ABC affiliated, yes, the American network, for quite a while originally. Then that was pulled out. It went to Fox, and now it's lost its CW affiliation. He says some speculation flips XETV to Spanish, perhaps as an independent or even a Univision outlet. From New Zealand, Paul writes in Hardcore DX about Radio Australia. Gone for now. It's possible they'll be back. A similar scenario played out in New Zealand with the closure of RNZ's shortwave service in 1976. The reason was the same as with Radio Australia, budget cuts. There was a storm of protest from within New Zealand and overseas, and a month later the government relented and reinstated the service. And in the wake of the demise of Radio Australia, Radio NZ International took the opportunity to call itself the essential voice of the Pacific. ABC's decision to cut shortwave. Radio New Zealand wants to reassure our listeners we are committed to our Pacific broadcast partners. It continues to serve people across the Pacific region, delivering essential day-to-day news and info, and providing a vital lifeline in times of natural disaster. RNZ CEO Paul Thompson says remote parts of Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and Vanuatu, who may be feeling the loss of the ABC, can rest assured RNZI will continue to provide independent, timely, and accurate news, info, and weather warnings, as well as entertainment, to its Pacific listeners. And of course, although it too is targeted only to the Pacific, I should add that Radio NZ International can be well heard far away, including North America, during certain hours. And now, there cannot be a better time than to remind us of its current frequency schedule. I'll just give the start times for each frequency. There's only one transmitter and one frequency at a time, unlike the three we had from Radio Australia. And these are the AM broadcasts only. From 23UT 17675, 03-15720, 05-11725, 08-9765, 11-11610, 13-7355. That's until 1650 when, except on Saturday, some DRM frequencies start. And on Saturday until 18, when the switch is to 11725. More DRM at 1951, except Saturdays, and from 2000, 15720. We hear it best in North America during the overnight hours. North American Pirate, YHWH, is often on 5790 during our evenings. However, January 30th at 0325, past 0355, I found him on 7465. He's used a variety of frequencies in the 7 megahertz band. Alokesh Gupta forwards a press release to DX South Asia from Radio Pakistan saying they have started work on converting transmission to state-of-the-art DRM Plus technology to make broadcasts clearer and cost-effective. The Director General visited a project at Broadcasting House in Islamabad and was briefed about progress on introducing DRM Plus. The present AM and FM transmitters of Radio Pakistan can be made compatible to this technology with little amendment. However, Noel Green in the UK, a longtime observer of Radio Pakistan, says, I guess they're trying to do what India has done and convert their medium wave services to DRM. Very typical of politicians to come up with this idea when probably many listeners or would-be listeners won't be able to afford a DRM-capable radio. Yet it's taken I don't know how many years since they bought their two new shortwave transmitters, and still they haven't got them on the air. Words fail me. For us, every day is a World Radio Day. But some stations are making a big deal out of February 13th, which has been proclaimed World Radio Day, including Radio Romania International. Jose Bueno has sent out a press release received from Victoria Sepciu of the Spanish section, and I assume this would also apply to English and all their other languages. They're inviting people to participate for a special broadcast on February 13th. You can send personal photos or, more to the point, brief written or recorded messages which will be broadcast on the special program. They need these by February 8th. Surely there's more information in English about this on their website, rri.ro. In the January issue of his DX fanzine, Antonello Napolitano in Italy has an interesting article, Two Radio Days That Shook the Republic of San Marino, about a pirate station that was on the air near the end of 1997, which really upset the postal authorities. And of course, this story is reproduced in the new DX Listening Digest 1705. Ron Howard in California says, yes, with ABC gone, it is now possible to hear all India Radio Gangtok Sikkim, a station rarely reported in the past, because it's on 4835, vacated by Alice Springs. January 31st, positive reception, above threshold level but not quite readable. Ideal for me, he says, my local sunrise at 1510. He was hearing it from 1437 with a monologue, 1445 some continental music and singing, 1450 another monologue, 1457 a beautiful selection of sitar music, all instrumental. At 1512 tones to start the audio feed from New Delhi with commercials, 1515 news in Hindi, and 1530 news in English, which are on many other All India Radio shortwave frequencies. We filed Sikkim as a separate radio country from India for historical reasons. One of SLBC's own programs on shortwave from Sri Lanka is called City FM, CITY, but it has a one-hour shortwave broadcast reduced from 2 hours, says Ivo Ivanov, as of January 25th, starting at 1630 on 11750, with 125 kilowatts beamed, 345 degrees. Ivo Ivanov also has this schedule for iRadio, EYE, for South Sudan, 16 to 17 UT via France on 15250. It's in Arabic, English, and at least six other languages. Besides South Korea, Ron Howard monitors some other weather stations from Asia, notably Bangkok Meteorological Radio Thailand, 8743 USB. Hear them January 31st at 1341 in English with marine weather for shipping, and giving their address in Bangkok and their interval signal at 1342. Most days, fair reception. They have other segments in other languages. Following up on something we mentioned last week, here's a story in the blog of MediaMatters.org on February 1st by Matt Gertz. I think the headline says it all. Here are the hacks in charge of broadcasting Trump's propaganda internationally. Trump appointed two campaign aides to oversee the transition of the Broadcasting Board of Governors. It so happens that February 1st was the 75th anniversary of Voice of America, which should have been a cause for celebration. And in fact, they issued a press release to mark the occasion. It was its first 15-minute radio broadcast in German in 1942, which marks the beginning of the station. It says VOA has grown into a multimedia international broadcast service, providing programming and content in 47 languages on multiple platforms, including radio, television, and mobile. On that first broadcast, announcer William Harlan Hale set the standard for all future VOA programs when he told his audience, "We bring you voices from America. Today and daily from now on, we shall speak to you about America and the war, The news may be good for us, the news may be bad, but we shall tell you the truth. Worldwide on WBCQ, January 28th, Alan Weiner said something intriguing, that there are a number of projects planned for this summer at Monticello, including something he cannot talk about that will change everything for shortwave radio if it works. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough advance notice for me to mention this last week, but I heard January 31st from David Timoshchuk. My former colleague's program, the Global Research NewsHour, produced at CKUW-FM in Winnipeg as a collaboration with globalresearch.ca, will be on WBCQ in a one-time set of transmissions. And in fact, the first one is on the air as I am recording this Wednesday night, 7490. I listened to the opening, and it's about the most censored news stories of 2016. If you're hearing one of our earlier broadcasts, it's not too late to tell you that the second airing is UT Saturday, February 4th at 0200 on 5130. We fear this might happen sometimes, as it requires close coordination between WWRB and WWCR, switching from one station to the other on 3215 at 0200 UT, well, three nights a week when WWRB is on. But Lou Johnson was listening on UT Sunday, January 29th, and heard that WWRB failed to change frequency for 45 minutes. There was a 50-50 mix in Atlanta. Both programs were unintelligible on 3215. And I heard something very strange on WINB's only frequency, 9265. They're normally off the air by this time, so was it them testing or something else? On February 1st, from 0444 past 0457, centered on 9265, I was hearing a multi-tone carrier whine extending above and below 7 kilohertz. Since January 27th, I had been trying to identify a Spanish-speaking religious station on 840 kilohertz. I hear fading in and out, if I null, WHAS in the evenings and sometimes in the mornings. It was very tough to get a definite ID, but I finally succeeded on January 31st. It is KVJY in Far, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, a format change which didn't yet appear in the listings. They identify as Voz y Vision Radio, Voice and Vision, and they mention phone numbers traced to Phoenix, Arizona, and Southern California area codes. I finally found information on their Facebook. Where else? They're adding more stations, KXOI 810 near Odessa, Texas, and long delayed, but soon, 1310 in the Albuquerque market, KKNS. There's some very important news about television in the USA. The FCC is expelling all TV stations above channel 36. They will have to repack, as it's put, to lower UHF or even VHF channels or sub-channels. The propagation outlook from Prague, active to disturb geomagnetic field February 2nd, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Quiet to active on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, mostly quiet on the 9th and 10th. Quiet on February 11th and 12th, quiet to unsettled on the 13th. Boulder predicts lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2, February 8th to 13th. Solar flux in the mid-70s. And that's World of Radio, 1863. I am Glenn Hauser.